Welcome to Clarity, Not Consensus, a podcast shining some light on how our theological convictions about men and women are lived out in our ministry relationships and in the decision-making forums at all levels of the Presbyterian Church in New South Wales, in assembly committees, presbyteries, and in the local church. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Clarity Not Consensus. My name is Sylvia Sue. I'm a deaconess and the Women's Ministry Facilitator. In 2025, the General Assembly amended the code following an overture from the Women's Engagement Working Group, who make this podcast, and the Business Committee, extending rights equivalent to those of an associated member to key personnel serving the church and to members of denominational committees. So this episode is especially for those people coming to assembly with those newly granted rights, but anybody who's coming for the first time. Joining me in the episode is Ben Gregg. Ben's an elder at Bathurst Presbyterian Church. He's a member of the Business Committee and has previously served on several assembly committees as well as the assembly moderator. Together we discuss what to expect at assembly, how it works, and how serving at assembly has grown our faith over the years. Welcome to this episode of Clarity Not Consensus, Ben. It's lovely to have you here.
Lovely to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Ben, and your connection to the assembly.
Sure. My name's Ben. I'm married to Jenny. We live in Bathurst, and I'm an elder at Bathurst Presbyterian. Been involved in assembly, I think, for around about 20 years now. So getting a bit grey, but it's been ups and downs as part of that. I've served as the moderator of assembly and on a number of different committees for assembly, and also been heavily involved in my local presbytery.
Amazing. So you've had 20 years of experience in assembly, but for someone who's never been to assembly before, what actually happens in a typical meeting?
Well, it's sort of a how long's a piece of string. Look, assembly essentially at its core is all the churches in New South Wales and ACT getting together to help each other focus on the gospel.
Yeah,
that's the kind of ideal for assembly. And so there are things that we can do together as a denomination that we can't do as local churches. Yeah. Some projects are too big. Some strategies are best done at sort of a state level. And so it's the ability for the churches to get together and really go, what do we want to put our effort into and how can we make Jesus really known across the state? Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes you look at an assembly and go, I don't get how this is helping that particular goal. But, you know, there's bits of business that kind of admin that you've got to do, right? So, but the core goal is to help us to follow Jesus better.
Amen. That's really exciting. Why would anybody not want to be there for that? What are some of the key terms or processes that newcomers might find confusing?
I think it's difficult because even though you've got a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ together, it's unlike probably any other meeting that you've been to. Because the fact is you've got about 200 plus people in a room, and so there needs to be a level of order to make sure that it just doesn't become sort of let's circle back kind of this could have been an email. And realistically, you've got some of the best thinkers and leaders in the denomination there for a period of time, and you want to make that useful. So it's quite formal. There's a lot of sort of motions and procedures and points of order and sort of when questions can be asked and when people can move motions and when there's an amendment to that motion. So it's very, the first couple of years, like I really sort of just came out like a stunned mother going, like, I really liked the prayers, but I have no idea what we actually did.
My first experience of assembly would have been 20 years ago, and I was maybe 18 years ago. I was working for Presbyterian Youth, and they were having a residential assembly. So assembly was held at Stanwell Tops at the campsite, and it was the week long. And every time I walked into the room while the business meeting was happening, We had to bow, which took me back
Yes.
to Catholic primary school and the genuflecting before the altar. And I was like, why are we doing that here? That doesn't seem to happen anymore.
No, look, I actually brought an overture about that and
That was
said,
you.
like,
Amazing.
I feel really uncomfortable with bowing. And so this impinges on my conscience. And so, and I mean, even I've just said the word overture, and there's probably a chunk of your audience that goes, you did a what? Like, and
Yep.
that's again, it's one of those archaic terms of assembly to change the rules of how assembly runs. You
Yeah.
have to present an overture, and there's a very particular way and format that that needs to be done in.
Yeah.
It's quite a process. You can't sort of just come up on the morning and go, oh, this would be a great rule to change.
Which isn't fun for impulsive people like me who get great ideas at the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
But I can't bring over tours anyway. But yeah, it is there are processes in place because I mean, if Presbyterians are anything, we are people who like order, hopefully modeled on God and his bringing of order into chaos. And so having processes in place actually helps us have good conversations. And sometimes it's good to wait when you have a great idea and write it down and get some people to refine that idea and agree to the idea and then present that to the assembly.
Yes, and I mean it's either because Presbyterians like order or because Presbyterians hate change, or possibly a combination of both.
Yes, we're trying to be really positive in this episode, but yeah, possibly both.
And look, sometimes there's actually a goodness in not wanting to change too quickly, because if we're a church that's on about the gospel, like I want that to be hard to change.
Yeah,
I
that's
want
right.
it actually to be really slow to sort of move us away from Jesus.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that means that it gives people time to go, actually, why are these guardrails here? Why we do this?
Yeah.
And to have people have to have considered biblical reasons for why we want to change what we do.
Yeah. Hard-won battles, when they're done graciously and lovingly and well, are the best kind of battles because you know you've brought people around to understanding this is a good thing. And hopefully, when we make those changes, we've worked hard for them. Yeah. I might
Yeah,
say.
and so there have been some good changes over the years that I've been there,
Yeah.
and just seeing even the cultural shift. I think people have sort of gone, look, we do need to be formal and we need to be ordered, but there's a sense that you can be somewhat relational in
Yeah.
that. And even just, I think assembly is starting to get a little bit better. We've got a way to go, but we're getting better at going, not everyone in the room understands what we're doing right now, and it's important for us to communicate so that everybody in the room, whether they get the opportunity to vote or not,
Yeah.
should understand the process that we're going through. And so assembly taking some time to actually educate people and say, this is why questions are now.
Yes.
This is now the opportunity for this. This is why this person can't suggest doing that right now because it's not appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. What's one thing you wish someone had explained to you before your first assembly?
Oh, I mean, there's part of the processes that you go, it would have been nice to understand how this works.
Yeah.
But in part, like I was told, like, have a look at the code. And there was a little, at that
Which
point,
part of the code?
It's a big document and
Yeah.
great bedtime reading, I guess.
Yeah.
I was given a little, there was a introduction to assembly that was
Mm.
given to new elders, which had
Okay.
some helpful flow charts on a couple of things. But even then, it's an overwhelming sort of
Yeah.
deluge of information. I think it would have been more useful to be told what you should spend your first couple assemblies on is forging relationships with others
Yeah.
that you will have for a long time if you're at assembly, because it is actually it's kind of lonely going to your first assembly, especially as an elder, especially if you're a visitor.
Yeah.
Ministers kind of have lots of friends there already.
Yeah.
Elders might know some people from their presbytery. and they'll probably know their minister that they're going along with. But
Yeah.
other than that, you probably won't know many people,
Yeah.
and everyone else already has friends. So you have to really kind of work at, and every other elder that I've spoken to has said the same thing. You have to work at forging relationships, but they're really valuable to do
Yeah,
that.
that's such helpful advice. I studied at Christ College. I started when it was PTC and I finished when it was Christ College because I think it took me 9 years to finish my degree. There were babies in the middle of that 9 years. So I know 9 years worth of cohorts of college graduates, which means I go to assembly, and my husband is at assembly, so I have a little bit of collegiality and relational credit. But I've made really good friends in line at the coffee shop who end up being people I end up sitting with and chatting with through parts of assembly, and then finding them the next year and having more conversations with them because it is fellowship before it's business, and we can't do our business without fellowship. So I think that's really great advice.
Yeah, and there's some really great opportunities at meals, whether that's dinner or lunch, to kind of, don't eat alone, tag along with a group.
Invite yourself because if anything, Christians, if they're not friendly, they're embarrassed to not look friendly, so they won't say no. Unless it's a
That's
private
exactly it.
conversation. So then they'll let you know and direct you to someone else, hopefully.
Yeah, and realistically, you'd be very unlucky if you hit that. So, fair enough. If you go up to sort of the clerk or the moderator and say, "Hey, can I join you for lunch?" They may be busy,
They may be busy, yeah.
but just grab somebody else. Even if it's someone that you sort of went, "Oh, I really liked
Yeah.
their speech that they did or that report," it just gives you something to go on. So.
Yeah, definitely. There are a few different lunches that are held during assembly week as well. So APWM will usually host a lunch, PY will usually host a lunch. For the ministry wives and women ministry workers, there's a lunch on the Tuesday. So if you tap into those things, you get to at least meet people who are interested in similar things to you or from similar ministry experiences, or at the very least you get a free food, a free meal, and that's lovely.
Yeah, for sure. PWA meet the day before, which can join in, and you'll get to meet a few people there. It's not free, but Gospel Society and Culture often has a dinner on, which usually has a really good speaker. I think they're actually doing AI
They are. It
this
looks so
year,
excellent.
which, I've booked in for that, so that should be
Amazing.
great as well. So, there's lots of opportunities, and it's just making yourself sort of going. I think my mistake was thinking this is about business, and so I'm going for business. Yes, that is important, and getting your head around that. If you are kind of a commissioner and you have a role to play, that's important. But actually, relationships are going to build much better.
Excellent. This is going to sound like my silly answer after your quite meaningful and detailed one. But two things I wish people had explained to me would be that you'll need a laptop charger because most of what we do is online. So either a tablet or a laptop charger, and just be confident leaving your place somewhere, your laptop or your tablet somewhere in the building for a little bit and just charging off one of the PowerPoints.
Like I remember the old paper days where, you're just shuffling through sort of 300 pages and kind of going like, which page is this on? And each day they'd be like, there's a new paper with all the
That's
extra
right.
things that people have done. And you'd be frantically looking, going, oh, can't believe someone's suggesting that, or, good on them or whatever.
Made an edit last night to their report. My last feedback would or thing I wish I had been told would be don't just sit with your friend that you've made, but find someone who's experienced at assembly and sit with them. Because sometimes assembly goes very, very quickly, and then sometimes it goes painfully slowly while people debate about amendments and which amendment are we up to, and points of order or points of privilege. And those things all seem quite foreign and confusing. So sit next to someone and don't be scared to say what's going on. And they might not know either. Or tap the person sitting in front of you because we kind of sit in an auditorium. So there'll be people around and just ask, and someone will usually kindly whisper and let you know what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. It's you can always ask a question
Yes.
to the person next to you. Even now, if you've got access to it, you can ask the top table and you
Yes.
might get a response
That's right.
back via email. So there are ways to do it. And my advice would be generally don't stop all of assembly to ask what's going on.
Right, ask the person next to you first, because if we're all asking every question we have, it will take forever. We will never leave. The goal of assemblies, I think, to be 3 days. It usually stretches out to 4. The last few, it's stretched out beyond that week, and there have been different surrounds that have met after assembly. So, I often feel like every thought because I'm gonna disclose to everybody, I have ADHD. I have impulsive questions that just come up and they sound really important. And sometimes I don't hear the question before it's asked. Sometimes it's better to waste the time of the person next to you than the 200 people sitting in the room with those questions. Most people don't naturally associate assembly with spiritual growth. How has serving in assembly helped you to love Jesus, his people, and his mission more deeply?
Look, I'll give the really obvious answer first. The Bible expositions at assembly are often really amazing. It's the fact that whoever is doing them is let known at minimum 12 months in advance that they're going to be doing them. And I imagine there's a bit of pressure on those people, right? Like you're not going to give sort of a second-rate sermon that you've been working on. So there's that. They're well-polished and considered, thoughtful talks, but they're also. One, they know that everyone's going to be in the room for all of those talks so they can build on each other. And there's an understanding that everybody in the room is already a Christian and probably has some Bible knowledge. And so there's the really advantage of, because that Sunday sort of sermon, you don't want to go kind of right into the weeds of something. You want to keep things accessible so that the newcomer can walk in and go, oh, you're talking about Jesus. I get this. Like, I'm not talking about esoteric hidden knowledge or anything, but there's a richness that you can bring out. And so the assembly Bible talks, I always find really encouraging to just kind of push and poke my heart in areas that I've kept locked up or sort of said, no, like it doesn't really matter whether Christ reigns supreme over this part of my life and actually be challenged and seen Christ anew. So that's a really amazing part of assembly. And even if you can't make it to assembly this year, watch them online and soak it in. Like they're really good Bible talks. I think aside from that, though, a lot of the business, it's really encouraging to see how God is working through his church. You can often, especially I'm out in the regions, and regional churches sometimes get quite isolated and quite laser focused on what's happening in their pastoral charge, which is a good thing because you want to care for your people where you are. But assembly forces you to kind of lift your eyes and go, this is what God is doing across the state. And so, even if the season we might be in right now is hard or joyous or whatever it is, to recognize that actually there's this whole wonderful web of churches and they'll have individual struggles and joys and to see some of the committees and sort of how God is really opening up new avenues for his kingdom. That's just amazing. And you don't get that unless you sort of are there at assembly, sort of praying with people, hearing those reports, soaking it in. So those two I think are really helpful. And just recently, we just started last year. It's going to be happening again this year as
So
well.
exciting.
We
Keep
had
going.
this sort of news from churches. It was churches going, this is what's been happening in our church. This is how the gospel's gone out. These are the new people that came to Christ. And we saw some great videos of people that were saying, like, never thought God was anything. And then, you know, we lived across the road from the church and we just started going, and now we're fully committed. Other churches going, we've been running these, you know, Christianity Explored courses, and this many people have come in, or families have come in. Mm. And it's just, it should always give you a great sense of joy hearing about every person that's come to Christ, even if you weren't personally involved. And so I find that really, really encouraging. It's huge. And also motivating too, because you go, well, I want to be part of that, right? I'm not going to sort of just hide in my own little shell and not tell my friends about Jesus.
Yeah. I often say to my husband that the worst thing about assembly is it creates more work for him. He's the minister of our church, because I go home and I'm like, hey, did you hear about this great thing that this church is doing? We should do that, or we should come up with this. So I find it really exciting, because it gives me so many ideas about how to better engage the gospel in the community, or how to, you know, do discipleship more intentionally, or more, you know, any way that uniquely engages with the cultural challenges of our community. So, but that's still not about my spiritual growth. I think, I mean, I've said this on, I think, multiple other podcast episodes, but for me, one of the worship in song is my preferred means of worship, and standing in assembly and singing hymns and songs to God with a room full of men and a few women is one of the things that gives my heart such joy, especially when we're often debating difficult things or complex issues, or we're getting confused about the order of things. And then we come together in worship is one of those things that, again, softens my heart to God's people and to loving them well, and to the joy of the unity of the Spirit that he's given us. I really love assembly in so many ways. And I think my first exposure to assembly on that week-long camp when I was working for Presbyterian Youth, the residential assembly, it was a contentious assembly, and they were debating women elders then. And so part of my job on camp was to drive down to Helensburg Station, pick up all the, you know, it was mostly PWA ladies who had caught the train in and drive them back up, and then observe the debate as it was happening. So that was really difficult in many ways. And I think the discussion then was even previous questions. So they debated, and then it wasn't even dealt with. But I got to see people on different sides of, I guess, the aisle come together and play soccer together and eat meals together and fellowship together. And that was really encouraging for me. And discovering, I think there are no bad guys, was so good for my spiritual growth, that they're just people who disagree with each other, but all loving Jesus in that. Something I have to keep reminding myself of.
Yeah, look, it is actually wonderful to kind of, when assembly disagrees well, we show Christ better than when we agree sometimes.
Ben, what's your favorite part of assembly?
Actually, really, this might be a cheeky answer. I actually like the prayer meetings before each day.
Right.
There's the option sort of 40 minutes before assembly actually starts, and it varies. We can have from sort of 10 to right up to sort of close to 50 people, and sitting in the room and just praying about the assembly business, and that we'd honor God. And again, it's, you could be sitting next to someone that the day before you just had like a rigorous debate about something that you both held really dear. And actually to sit in the room and to both humble yourself before God and to say, you know, today we want to come together in fellowship and really pray that your word would, you know, impact our lives. It's such an amazing opportunity. And because, you know, that's not the kind of, I'm often tempted to do sort of shopping list prayers, you know, like my prayers always become so shallow about what do I need for today, and what, you know, they're good things to pray for, but it often kind of engulfs my prayer life. But assembly, you kind of like, well, I'm not going to pray about my bad back or, my upcoming work or whatever it is. It's actually, wow, I want to lift my eyes here and pray kingdom-focused prayers. And so that's really,
That's really good.
I find that really encouraging, and highly recommend whether you're a guest at assembly or a commissioner, like come to those because that's just welcome for everyone. There's no kind of rules or regulations about who can be at that. So,
Everybody can pray even with lifted hands.
yes.
I think, yeah, amen. I don't, almost don't want to answer this question because I'm going to sound so shallow in response. I don't watch sport. It does nothing for me. Watching the screen as the votes are being counted is my state of origin. I love that. I love that. I love the excitement of which way, especially like I think the last couple of years there have been some really close ones.
Well, last year I think we had two ties, which
We
is the
did.
first time that I've seen them in my history.
I've seen before we had our online voting system when people had to move in
Yeah,
accordance
the
with their vote,
division,
the
which can
division.
still technically happen, but I can't imagine that anyone would,
Request
other than
that
if
we
they
have.
wanted to waste time. So.
But that's it's my state of origin. I love that. That's really fun for me. So, but definitely the prayer meeting. I have not yet been to the prayer meeting. Mostly because I'm dropping off kids with babysitters before we get there. But if I was to get there this year, what time is it and where, Ben?
Oh gosh, you put me on the spot now. I can load that up and
We can just put it in our show notes if that's helpful. We can put that in our show notes. So we hope we've gotten you excited about praying, and you can come to that before assembly, which usually starts at 9 assembly. And so it'll be sometime starting between 8 and 8:30 is my guess. Somewhere at PLC Croydon, which is where assembly is. So.
It's usually in one of the little side rooms just off the auditorium, and there'll be some signs pointing to it. I should know because I'm usually helping to organize it,
That's okay.
but it's just usually because I know I have to get there, and like I'm just like, oh well, I just go in a bit early here. So.
There is also usually a coffee cart. So if you get into the auditorium and the coffee cart is set up, ask them and they'll be able to point you in the direction and
Yeah,
grab a coffee
definitely.
as well. What does assembly do that people in local churches often don't see?
I think it's hard sometimes to see the structure that you need to help hold up your local church. And so you might go, well, we're doing fine. We've got our minister and we've got our elders and we have these various ministries that we run, but actually a lot of those are enabled and supported by assembly. So your minister has probably trained at Christ College or at the very least has been approved by Christ College. And your elders have a system that they're working to that's been set by assembly. The code has been set up to tell elders, this is the things that we need you to keep an eye on. These are the kind of things that we want elders to be engaged with. And so even the very existence of your church, in part owes itself to assembly. But also there's so much work that happens outside just local churches. So even this podcast, right? Like, it in part is helped by assembly. If you read through Pulse, you'll see various work that the different committees do. But it means some things that you might not see at a local level, like APWM helping and supporting missionaries to go out, which you can sort of do at a local level, but it's so much easier to do it in a coordinated way so that we can say, actually, we're going to help these people. And so our local church, we one of the missionaries that we support is the Puffetts in France, and they're with APWM, and we hooked up with them thanks to APWM because we said to APWM, like, we're looking for a new missionary partner. We want to be really involved with them. We don't want to just write them a check and pray for them once a month. We actually want to find out what they're doing and for them to be involved at Bathurst as well. And it's been a really wonderful partnership to have with them. And
Amazing.
we wouldn't have been able to do that without APWM. Just a few months ago, I was with you in Dubbo at, M&M conference where we were talking about how can two presbyteries kind of work together and come up with good solutions for some of the regional churches that are really struggling, and what can we do better together.
Yeah.
You're always going to, all through sort of Acts, you see the New Testament churches cooperating and collaborating. And sure, maybe they didn't have a big formal assembly structure. I'm happy to kind of give that. But they did actually, they weighed up tricky issues like the Council of Jerusalem, where they're like, you know, well, what does it mean to be a Gentile Christian? Yes. And what do you have to do? But also churches like Antioch actually going, well, we're going to send out missionaries and Paul and Barnabas, and, you know, we're going to go and strengthen all these kind of churches. So there's so much that we can do together. And if it's just about your local church, it's great that the gospel's going out in your local area.
Yeah.
But God's kingdom is bigger than that.
Yeah. Amen. I'm so encouraged by the references to Acts there, Ben, because I think I sometimes forget that what we're doing is actually based on scripture, and we may not be debating circumcision, but we are strengthening one another up when we come together in assembly, and hopefully that's what the committees are doing. I know that in our local church context, we've had some tricky things that we need to work through, and so depending on Jericho Road for wisdom and insight, we've had to utilize the law agent to help us prepare things that we needed to discuss with the church. So all of these things that you don't really know exist until you need them, and usually at difficult times is when you need them and you go, wow, I'm so thankful for that. I think, you know, even in our one of our local church contexts, when we had we, in our current, we don't have a church building, but in the previous one, we had a church building, and just the grief about the cost of insurance and, you know, feeling like we were paying everybody else's insurance. Then you come to assembly and we discover that actually, because this is negotiated on our behalf, it's actually in our interest to remain in this, I guess the statewide kind of thing. So there are so many things the assembly is doing pragmatically, but also spiritually and pastorally, that is strengthening the church in so many ways. And what a blessing to not need those things. But when you do need them, it's so wonderful to have them there.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy to, like, insurance is a great example. Like, people just look at their insurance bill and they go, this is unfair.
Yeah.
I remember it was either last assembly or the one before that, you know, the general manager was saying, you know, for every $5 we pay in insurance, we're getting back $6
yes.
in claims.
Yeah.
And when you tell people that at a local level, they're like, oh, so we are getting a good deal. I'm yes. like, oh, unfortunately, it probably means our premiums are going to go up, right? But it yeah. also means that actually you're getting an amazing deal at the moment
yes.
because the Presbyterian Church is making money off its insurance,
yeah.
Yeah, which is not what most people would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it helps us realize that actually, yeah, so something like insurance, yes, you're paying a lot, but that means churches that would have really struggled, say, Lismore with the floods. Actually, you're contributing, just like in Acts where the famine, you know, they're going, yes. well, let's actually put in so that churches that are struggling can yeah. function. And look, I think there's an ability, even if you're not a minister or an elder, yeah. to be involved in assembly's work by serving on one of the committees. And yeah. so if you do have a passion for mission, like joining APWM, they would love extra members. If
yeah.
you've got a passion for helping the poor and making sure that we include people with disabilities and thinking through what does pastoral care look like in a social setting, then Jericho yeah. Road, you know, would love help, you know. So there's so many committees on, like, various topics that you might be actually really passionate and called to be involved in that. And you don't need to be a minister or elder
right.
to kind of serve
yeah, yeah.
on those and help
yeah.
out.
That's so. Right. Our committee is forever looking for a treasurer. You don't have to be, in fact, we only have yeah. ministers on our committee, 3 spaces for ministers on our committee. The rest are just church members. And we always need a treasurer. We need people with real world experience and a desire to serve Jesus in this way, to serve on committees. And so There's so many ways to be involved in the work of the greater church. It's not just about what we receive in our local church, but how we can contribute to that.
Definitely.
Yeah. What are some of the hardest or most challenging aspects of Assembly Week?
Disagreement is hard, even when you know that's kind of a good thing. It's especially hard if you have initiated or spearheaded like a change or a proposal, and assembly sort of says, no, thank you.
Thanks, but no thanks.
That can be really tough. I think there is a tendency, at least for me, because I'm a fairly proud kind of bloke, that I sort of go, well, they said no because they just didn't understand, right? It's because like if they knew what I knew, they would have definitely said yes. There's no way I could be wrong. And so that kind of pride loop that you then just set yourself up and you go, well, I can't believe that all these people didn't go with me.
I'll just make another speech and explain it again.
I'll tell them in a different way so they can actually understand what I know. So that can be really tough, I think. And there's a humility that comes with, and don't hear me say that I've got this in the bag. There's a humility with going, assembly will make the right choice, even when I think it's the wrong one. That I'm not saying that I can abandon all responsibility because God's got this, and so I don't need to think critically about what we're discussing. But actually, I do have trust in God that if we are resting on His word and wanting to follow Him, that He's not just going to let the church kind of crumble because why not? He actually He cares for us and He cares about His word being proactively and enthusiastically shared. And so He's not going to let it like just fade away into nothing. Now, yeah, sure, we can still make stupid decisions, et cetera. But I think actually it has been really hard for me to learn that kind of that lesson to go, actually, assembly will just make the right call because this is a bunch of Christian brothers and sisters that have been prayerfully considering these things. And like, who am I to kind of say, well, the rest of you are wrong?
I so appreciate that humility because I've never had a vote, only the right to speak, but never a vote in any of the leadership spaces of my local church or presbytery or assembly. I one depend more on my voice, but also much more dependent on God and much more willing to just go, okay, well, they made a decision I don't agree with, but that happens, regularly in my session and regularly at presbytery, and I just submit to the session, the decisions that are being made because I'm one, powerless to change them, but two, convinced that this is the way that God has ordered his church. And that is very difficult for men who do have a vote and who have spent a lot of time in the majority to then sit with the fact that they might that the assembly doesn't agree with their mind.
Yeah, people
It's
just
much.
aren't used to it, right? Because it's rare in most sessions, from my understanding, not that I've been to every session, that you get outvoted. Unless you may, because I keep bringing radical ideas to them, that's fine.
There you go.
And so you come to assembly and you go, I'm used to people thinking in the same ministry context, in the same way. I have the same sort of worldview. And you present it in that way, and the rest of assembly sort of goes, no. And that's you just it requires you to go, did what I think, is what I think because of the Bible, or is it because of me? And that can be a really hard sort of internal conversation.
So we've got some changes coming to assembly l this year. Last year, the General Assembly amended the code following an overture from two committees that we're both involved with, the Women's Engagement Working Group that I'm involved with, and the Business Committee that you serve on. And the overture that we had brought sought to extend the rights equivalent to an associated member to key personnel serving the church. So this is something that's been done for the last few years. So it means that deaconesses, which I am, when I had a colleague who was the women's ministry facilitator and not a deaconess, she was also given a rights equivalent to that of an associated member. And so this will be extended not just to personnel who serve the denomination, but also to committee members. And the changes reflect, I think, a desire from the assembly to hear and benefit more intentionally from the people serving our denomination, the people that God's gifted and called to serve in our contexts. So it'll be lovely to see so many more men and women able to come to assembly for the first time this year and participate in ways that are, we're able to hear their voices. So, Ben, what role do associated members, affiliates, and guests play in enriching the assembly discussions?
I think it's the extra perspectives, and so to have people that if you're unable to explain your reasoning to people who might not have been within the system, then that's a good litmus test to like, can you justify this to your local church? You know, if you're going to go back and say this is what we did, so that can be really useful, but it's also just sometimes we get stuck kind of almost by our own procedures and our own way of thinking, that you get a bit of assembly group think. And so having people from the outside, especially I think with us saying to committee members, we want you to come and like we've entrusted you with the work of this committee and we've been really enriched by this work. And so for you to come and be engaged in the assembly process as a whole, often you will find people with particular passions on committees, you know, they're particularly passionate about that kind of committee thing. And so it allows those kind of causes to be championed and really fleshed out, because sometimes assembly sort of just goes, oh, well, you know, we'll tick the women's engagement box because we've got a committee doing it. Like, you know, that's fine. So we don't need to think about it. So actually having people on the assembly floor challenging kind of preconceptions or even just asking questions that no one else thought to ask because, you know, it's just not on our radar can be really useful. And so, and we make better decisions with more of us in the room, right? Like the more people that are following Jesus that want to make a decision, the better. Like
Amen. And the associated members and affiliates are so the affiliates is probably referring to presbytery affiliates where we have something similar. But they're people who are nominated by their church either to go to presbytery or love Jesus and have are skilled in different areas and so appointed by a committee to serve there. So they are already part of the d decisions that are being made in assembly. And so for them to see the greater context of the work that they do, I think is really important. So on one of the committees that I serve, they were putting together an overture, and a bunch of people on the committee had never been to assembly, didn't know what the process was, didn't understand, I guess, the dynamics at play at assembly between multiple committees or, the need that other committees have. And so being able to be present at assembly enriches the service that these people give in their committees as well, as I think it enriches the assembly's experience of whether or not a person given associated rights will get up and speak from the stage. They may have a conversation with someone in the line at the coffee cart or out for lunch and actually expand their understanding of who the committee is. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think I've noted just seeing some of the questions that some of the deaconesses have asked over the years have been questions that would not even have occurred to me to ask. But as soon as the question is asked, I'm like, I am really invested in the answer here and what action we might take as a result of that. And so, yeah, it's an intimidating thing to get up and speak and to say anything at assembly. I know I've spoken to a lot of members of assembly who have sort of full rights, and they go, I would never get up in front of that microphone because there's 200 people there, etc. So
it's
that's
scary.
And that's fine. You don't have to. But a question can be really impactful. And so to just make people consider and go, oh, we hadn't actually thought about that angle. And so is that important? What do we need to do about that? That can be really helpful.
Excellent. What has attending assembly taught you about the wider church?
I think, I've been around for a little while now. I remember growing up, my dad's been a part of assembly, and he was part of, I don't know whether you've heard of the Red Sock Brigade.
Oh, I have.
He was part of that. For listeners that don't know, that was a long time ago. Assembly was sort of divided into three kind of big camps, I guess. There was sort of the liberals, the pure traditionals, and the kind of evangelicals. And the evangelicals were kind of in the minority for a little while. But the way that they kind of, everyone would wear a suit and their best dress. And there was a very distinct dress code. The evangelicals kind of flagged to each other who they were by wearing red socks so that they could kind of just show a sort of almost solidarity, like the Christian fish that sort of went round in the early church. And so I grew up with sort of stories about, you know, liberals and heretics and kind of having to watch. But by the time I was coming into assembly, they had sort of faded away. Even on my presbytery, I think I only really engaged with one person that I would have considered heretical. And so it has actually been really encouraging to actually see that the wider church is just on about the gospel. Like, I've got serious disagreements with a number of people on various issues about how we might interact with government, or what funding looks like for various committees, or how we do theological education, or whole range of things. But actually, these are people that I'm united on the death and resurrection and the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. And it's just, it's so opening to kind of go, even in a sort of narrow tent of Christianity, which is Presbyterianism, of this reformed doctrine, there's such a diversity in wisdom of what that might mean for individual sort of decisions. And that really, I find that really helpful because I spent so long earlier on kind of, I would get blown by winds of innovation, for want of a better word. Someone would say, you know, this kind of strategy works really well in X church, and I'd be like, oh, well, we should just replicate that because someone else is doing it. And now actually going, actually, you can have different styles of church, different strategies, united under the gospel. Every church doesn't have to be a carbon copy of each other. And you can still love Jesus doing that. So,
amen. If you could say one thing to a man or a woman attending assembly for the first time next month, what would it be?
Well, first, come and say hi. I love talking to people that are new at assembly, and just if you are sort of stuck on what's happening, you can nudge me. I might give you the wrong answer, but I'll be confident about it, so it'll be fine.
It's like reading the Bible and like reading those names in Greek or places. Just say it with confidence. It'll be fine.
It'll be all good. Don't kind of think, oh gosh, no, I can't talk to Ben. He's always up talking to people or whatever. I really do love talking to people who are new at assembly. And I do remember it being a very isolated experience. Mm-hmm. So would love to come and chat. I think the other thing I would say is, if you do feel compelled to speak or to ask a question, just go for it. You are there at the welcome invitation of assembly. You haven't slipped through the cracks and accidentally got in. We want you to be there and we want you to participate. And so, you know, if you've got something that's burning that you're like, why haven't they said this or et cetera, there aren't stupid questions. So, you know, go for it. Or if you want to make a speech on a particular issue, then, you know, we'd love to hear it. We're better enriched by you participating and engaging. Yeah. The final thing that I'd say, which is a little bit more boring, read the assembly papers.
Oh, amen.
Like, committees have put some good work into it. There's a lot of stuff on consent. And I think the temptation is, well, I won't read that because everyone agrees.
Yeah.
But you are much more likely to be spiritually enriched by the things in the consent papers than you are on the papers that are not in consent.
Yeah.
It's worth reading all of it. But the stuff in consent is generally the parts that we all say amen to.
Yeah.
And that's why it's on consent, because we just go, well, of course we're engaged with this because we can see Christ at work here.
Yeah.
So read it, be encouraged, pray about the things that are there, dig deep, ask a question of that committee, just how did this go, etc. That can happen pre-assembly, and they can publish the sort of question and answers in printed form. That can be really helpful for some of the conveners on consent committees, because sometimes I think they feel like maybe assembly is ignoring them.
Yep.
I will just say, as a commissioner, I really love reading most of the consent papers, because they're always really encouraging to see what they're doing. So,
And for committee members, you're not going to get the link automatically. So you need to either go through your committee's convener or email the assembly clerk directly, and you'll get access to that. And it's all online. You can print it out if you want, but it's all online. 100% read that, because you might have a question when you hear an overture or a motion or a report, and the answer is probably going to be in the paper. So, like, are they called Dorothy Dix questions? Like, when someone gets up and asks.
Sometimes, in Parliament,
So, no, but I do love those questions. Having had to present for my committee before, there's usually one or two, usually one person who does it quite regularly, friendly person, who will get up and ask a really encouraging question, and they probably know the answer, but they want the assembly to hear that. So if everybody does that, it takes too long. But if one person does that or two, it's a lovely thing to do. Do it intentionally so that the assembly can hear the good work that is happening. But sometimes you might just be curious about something and the answer is there. And sometimes you discover things you didn't know. Reading the papers also helps me pray well before assembly and pray for the committees. So that's definitely one thing. The other thing, and this is such a nerd thing, but read the standing orders in the code. It's just so helpful, because even like I used to do debating in primary school. So some of the things, you know, when I was in assembly and the bell rings and you think, why is there a gong going off? Oh, it's because the person spoke for 3 minutes, or, you know, they've got half a minute to go. I think it's 5 minutes for a speech. If you're just given a rights equivalent to an associate or a commissioner, you get 5 minutes for a speech. But just kind of knowing what's going on, what a point of order is, or all of those things are explained in the standing orders. And so they're the rules of the court, and that just helps you engage. And I will plug that we, the Women's Ministry Committee, with the kindness of the assembly clerk, have created a resource that isn't extensive. The extensive resource is the standing orders and the code. Read that. But we've just created a light resource to kind of help you work out where you're at assembly, what to expect, some things you might like to know. And it's four pages with a glossary at the end. So that might
that's done well. Yep.
Yeah, that might be a helpful kind of thing to just familiarize. I mean, the first page is a title page, so it's probably three pages, but just to familiarize yourself with what's going on at assembly and who to speak to. I would recommend you read that, and we will link that into the show notes.
Yeah. And look, there is a lot of reading to do for assembly. I often sort of think I'm going to have to dedicate 2 or 3 days to kind of read through well. It's, in one sense, it's almost as much time as you'll need at assembly
Definitely.
itself.
Definitely.
I realize that is a large commitment, but you will be there's some gold in some of those
Yeah,
reports,
yeah.
and to see the work that the wider church is going ahead, that's in one sense bigger than the decisions we might make.
That's right. I think last year when the papers were distributed, the email said, "There's a lot here, and you cannot read this on the train on the way in." And that
Yeah.
was really helpful advice.
Yeah,
Speaking of,
don't cram it the night before for assembly, sorry.
speaking of which, take a train into assembly. Parking is awful, and we will not be able to park on the field at PLC. So take a train in. It's a 5-minute walk from the train station.
Yeah, if you can. Some of
If
us are regional people, that's
you can.
difficult.
Sure. But do you drive back and forth during assembly week? Do you stay local?
Oh gosh, I don't want to like give away that I've got this
Okay.
cool parking spot near
Oh,
PLC that's
no.
untimed. So,
But okay. Look, I grew up a suburb over, so I'm really good at parking, and it's, again, I don't watch State of Origin, but parking is my sport as well. I
Yeah.
love a challenge parking in the inner west. And
Well,
so
that's a plus. If you come to the prayer meeting, you get there early enough that there is parking.
there is
So
parking.
there you
Yeah.
go.
And just be prepared to walk for half a block or so. Or I'll catch a train. Any last words, Ben, before we close our time?
No, thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to seeing people at assembly.
Yeah, definitely. Could I get you to pray for us in the month before assembly, if that's okay?
Sure thing.
Thanks.
Dear God, thanks so much for the opportunity that we have to work together as churches. Help us to really be highlighting you and your kingdom, that the decisions that we might make at assembly might glorify Jesus and help strengthen local churches in the mission that they're doing. Help all of those that are going to assembly to be diligent in sort of reading through their papers and preparing well for assembly. And that our conduct at assembly would be curious and loving towards one another. And we just pray that it would be a week that glorifies your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.